Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 133. That's right, 133. Crowdfunding Adler Board Game Cafe. So before I get into the episode, I want to begin by welcoming all of you to this episode. Whether you're a new or a longtime listener, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to give this a listen, and maybe you're watching it live, which I'll talk a little bit more about at the end of the show during the announcements. But I want to thank all of you because I think this is an episode you're really going to enjoy. More and more, we see that there are games being made, there are companies doing stuff, TV shows being produced, and all sorts of really neat products out there that are being crowdfunded. And there's a variety of ways to do that. Things like Kickstarter gets the most, airplay, so to speak. Indiegogo, Patreon, which I've talked about because we have a Wargaming Recon Patreon. And of course, GoFundMe is another one, which I'm going to be talking about in relation to the Adler Board Game Cafe. Before I go any further, though, I want to remind all of you, you don't need to remember anything really that I talk about in this episode, except for one thing, okay? The one thing you need to remember is the link to the show notes. Why? Okay, the show notes has links to other stuff. It covers all the things that I talk about here in the episode. And because it does all of that, if you remember that one thing, you don't need to remember anything else. You go to this place and it'll have all the things that you want. So the link for the show notes is wargamingrecon.com/WR133. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR133. So what is Adler Board Game Cafe and why is it being crowdfunded? Adler Board Game Cafe is at the helm, really, and owned by Gordon Sampson and his wife Denise. They've been in business for over 10 years, something like 14, I think, actually. And they've been running game stores. They've run variety of them in basically the same organization, but just renamed and rebranded. First, I think it was called Empire Games, and then it became Adler Hobby, which is how a lot of us here in New England may have heard about them. But if you're a listener or a viewer, I should say, if you're digesting this episode from abroad, chances are you've never heard of them before, but they are a mainstay on the New England gaming convention circuit. They've been at TotalCon. They actually ran a Flames of War Flames of War tournament several years ago, and I think they've been at Huzzah since the beginning up at Maine, Portland, Maine. So they have specialized in Flames of War, but they branched out into all sorts of different games. You know how like some game stores you go to and they're like a Magic the Gathering store or a card game store, and others are board game stores, and then there are some that are all about GW stuff, 40K, fantasy, and all that kind of stuff. And then there are others that are just kind of mixed. Some are maybe historical stores and so forth. So what they're doing is they've shut down Adler Hobby, but they wanted to progress forward. And what they want to do is they want to get some commercial real estate, like storefront, basically, and to set up a board game cafe. Board games are hugely popular now. They've been written up all over the place. Any newspapers, you look on the web, wherever, a lot of press goes to cover board games and they're resurgence of their popularity. And as such, there's been a lot of board game cafes, and they may not be called a board game cafe, but basically it's a place you go, you get some sort of beverages, maybe you get some sort of food. I would call it a cafe, but again, it doesn't have to be branded as such. And you play board games, and a lot of them have memberships. You sign up, you pay maybe a monthly due, and you get to go in and you can play any of the games they have. They have a huge board game library that you get to play. You bring your friends. It's a good place to go for dates. It just is really popular. And here in Massachusetts, in particular in Boston, they're very popular and they've been written up in the Boston Globe, which is our big paper, right? Get a lot of airplay on that. And the surrounding cities and suburbs, they're all over the place. Now, Adler Board Game Cafe would be over the border in New Hampshire. And what they want to do is they're trying to get the gamers through New England and across the globe, really, who are interested in this, to help make it a reality. So I've talked about in previous episodes how you can get really cool stuff through Kickstarter, and maybe someone's doing a Kickstarter project where you like what they're doing and you want to support it and you want to make it happen. In fact, just a few episodes ago, I had some of the fantastic guys on to talk about Ancient History Magazine and how it is being kickstarted. This is the same thing, except instead of being on Kickstarter, it's on GoFundMe. Now, let me explain to you what Adler Board Game Cafe is. And Gordon's done a fantastic job of having all this information available on his website. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, so don't worry. Basically what it is a place where you can go, you can play board games. There are membership fees attached, and if you fund him through the GoFundMe campaign, there are special deals for some of this kind of stuff. I'll get into that in a minute, but I want to let you know that this is what it will be like for just about anyone who goes. If you want to get in, it's $8 a day. You play as many games as you want. You get the use of the terrain, the scenery, the gaming tables. Of course, the focus is board games because the name Board Game Cafe, right? But if you wanted to play like a game of 40K or Flames of War, that's allowed. It's okay. You bring your stuff. It's cool. He also has something called a big pack. It's $40, and it allows you to get in up to 6 times for non-members. So you're basically saving $8. Or if you're a member of the Board Game Cafe, you save 15 because it allows you in for 9 times. It's a way that you can bring your friends and family in so that they're not paying. Maybe you bought this for yourself and you're like, oh, I can get these many people in. Because in essence, it allows 6 people in. You could come 6 times yourself, or you could come with 5 other people and it still covers it. So it's really cool. And also, it doesn't expire. You buy it, good forever. And then there's something called a casual membership, where you pay $15 a month, and then your entry fee, your cover charge basically, is $5 to get in. Plus you get extra stuff with it, there's discounts for things, you get a free hot or cold beverage every time you visit, and all that sort of stuff. And then there's what's called a full club membership. It's $30 a month, free admittance, there's no cover charge with that, you come as often as you want, stay as long as you'd like, and as long as the store is open. You get free drinks and snacks and entry to tournaments and all sorts of that kind of stuff. And then there's all sorts of like other things that are there. But basically, it's a club kind of in that you get to go, you get to play cool games, and you get to play games with people who are going to be fun. Okay, so you're thinking, well, how does this differ from me belonging to something like this or me going to a gaming store where like I don't have to pay to get in. I just go and I play games, or gaming at your house, or maybe gaming at a separate club. So if you belong to a gaming club, which I have never belonged to a gaming or wargaming club, but if you do, there are usually some sort of membership dues involved. So that's basically the same. And then if your club is lucky enough to have its own clubhouse or function space, there might be extra fees in order to keep that up to date. So your costs keep on rising and rising and rising, right? And then if you belong to that club, like a separate club, chances are you might have to be responsible for things like making terrain and building up club armies and all that kind of stuff. It depends on the organization and everything, but you might either have to or you might feel like you should. Now, if you game at home, you have all of that stuff, except you don't have any costs, right? Except for costs maybe for when you invite people over or to get your own stuff set up. But then you have the problem, you have people in your house and trying to make it work with your family and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes it's easier to get away, right? Well, then your other option is going to the game store, right? It doesn't cost to get into a game store. Most game stores don't charge you a cover charge to play. Some do though. I have been at somewhere you have to pay $5 a day. You get a table for like 3-4 hours and then you're gone. Others, they don't charge at all. You come in and you play, but then that runs into the problem of, well, how are those game stores going to stay afloat, right? They need something to keep them going. And not every game store is allowed or has the stuff so that you can go hang out, get a beverage, maybe a snack or something. You can't do that. So that's why a place like a board game cafe, a gaming cafe, right, is so popular, because they are self-contained. They have everything. You don't need to bring anything. You go to a game store, you need to bring your game, or you need to buy it from them in order to play. You can't just test out a game. You belong to a club, you have to buy all your stuff and bring it to the club. You're at your house, same thing, right? But what if you just want to try something and you want to give it a go and you haven't done it before, but you're hoping it's going to work out. And so what if then? Well, that's where something like Adler Board Game Cafe can be really helpful. Now, as of right now, I know a lot of things are still being worked out with this enterprise because they're working on the paperwork to nail down the location, but it looks like it'll be in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're working on the details, like when will they open, what exact beverages will they have, and all that kind of stuff. But one of the cool things is, in this day and age of social media, they've been able to update people all the time about what they're working on through their Facebook, through the Twitter, all that sort of stuff. So, for example, I happen to know that for hot beverages, they're working on getting not the Keurig system, but something like it. It's called Flavia. We have it at my work. Instead of little K-cups, you get these packets, these pouches, really. And it's really good, high-quality beverages. You can get all sorts of teas and hot chocolates, coffees, cappuccinos, you name it, it does it all, right? So you could get something like that to air if they so choose to go with this. But I know they're going to go with some sort of system to make it easy like that. And they'll work out with snacks and everything. Now, how much is all this going to cost you? So unlike Kickstarter, where there are set backing levels and set, you know, you need to pledge this amount to get this much or whatever, one of the cool but also confusing things about GoFundMe is that GoFundMe is basically a gigantic tip jar, kind of like Patreon, but more open-ended. So that with GoFundMe, the person who created the GoFundMe project says, we need X amount of money. And in the case of Adler Board Game Cafe, it's $4,000. Originally, it was $5,000, but then someone had donated their time and their skills as a carpenter, which allowed them to reduce the cost. Because let's face it, you open up a new business, you open up a new store, there's a lot of money involved with all that kind of stuff. And so far, they've raised $175, and so they still have a long way to go. But there's no definitive endpoint. Like, you do a Kickstarter, and they say you get 30 days to do whatever, or however long the project is. Now, the plan is they want to get this done as quickly as possible, but they need help from all of us if we so choose to do so. And as I had said, unlike Kickstarter, there's not certain backing levels where, oh, I'll give you $15 and then you give me a reward or whatever. And that's actually one of the things that haven't liked as much about Kickstarter, because a lot of people, and myself included, have mistakenly viewed Kickstarter as a store where, okay, I'm going to give you X dollars to get something. I may or may not really care about the project you're doing, nor what you want to do, but I want your reward. So I'm going to buy your reward by giving you $10, $20, $40, whatever, which should be less than what it will cost me if I didn't buy it through your Kickstarter, if I waited for your Kickstarter to end and then buy it. So if it's costing me $40, you should charge someone who didn't back your Kickstarter, you should charge them $50 or $75 or $100 or something. I should be getting a deal. And when I first heard about Kickstarter, I thought, oh, this is great. It'd be a fantastic way for a bunch of people to help someone create something cool, whether it's artwork, a movie, a game, or whatever. And then I was like, wait, it's kind of like a glorified store where we're helping, yeah, but if the creator didn't budget properly to say, well, I need to do these rewards because otherwise people aren't going to back me no matter how cool my project is. So I need to take X amount of money for my project, but then I need all this additional money to not only buy, make, or create all the rewards and then send them out to the backers. That's just something I haven't liked, but GoFundMe is different because there are no rewards. Your reward is you're donating to the cause. You're making it a reality. Some people use this because maybe they're going to move to another part of the country, another part of the world, and they want their friends to help. Some people use it because they have a great illness. Maybe they have cancer or something, and they can't afford the treatment because medical costs are just so high, and so they create a GoFundMe, and all their family and friends and coworkers, they chip in and they help out. GoFundMe is great because when you fund the project, you're doing it selflessly. You are not doing it because you are going to receive a cool toy. You're doing it because it's something you truly believe in. You're doing it because it's a good thing to do. Now, I know that there's been some talk about working out maybe some sort of unofficial, perhaps, rewards, I guess you could say, to those who do back the Adler Board Game Cafe GoFundMe. At one point, I think there was some rewards listed on the GoFundMe project page, and they've since been removed and it's been modified and so forth. So I can't speak to whether or not they will exist definitively down the road or what will happen. But I can tell you that you will be able to get updates on the project, you know, just outside of this episode, by following the Twitter and the Facebook page, because it'll be from April 6, 2015 to May 14, 2015. So although I said GoFundMe kind of doesn't really have an end date, so to speak, I love that Gordon has created this timeline. He said, this is when the stuff is going to happen, and this is how it's going to be. And so I think it's really cool. And I think if you happen to live in the area and it's something you will be able to go to and use, that I think it's worth tossing a few bucks at it. There's no entry level for it. It's not like you need to give at least 10 bucks in order to back the project. You can give a dollar. You can give whatever you can afford. And like I said, he's raised 175 bucks so far, needs 4,000 total. Long way to go. Don't get me wrong. It's definitely, it's hard. Any of these crowdsource funding things are difficult to get people to back it and everything, no matter how much support you have. And at the time that I'm recording this episode, I can tell you that it's been tweeted and shared all over the place, and tons and tons and tons of people have seen it. I'm guessing thousands of people have seen this. And that just goes to show how difficult this is. But I think that if everything lines up just right, and if they get the funding to do what they need to do, and that if all the ducks get lined up in a row, you know, just how it should be, that the Adler Board Game Cafe could be quite a success. You need the right location, you need the right everything, right? Anything in life. It's a combination of cool and just correct things. But they could make it happen. And I think if they do, I think it'll be really cool and be able to go to a place that will just have that vibe that you're looking for to allow you to game in a cool area, so that you can try out all sorts of new board games, things you maybe never would have played otherwise. And if there wasn't a place like this near you, well, how are you going to try the game? Maybe a buddy might buy it and you try it out that way. That's how I have often tried board games and other stuff. Word of mouth or seeing a video online and say, well, maybe I'll try it myself and buy it. Sometimes it's a dud, sometimes it's not. You never know. But a place like this, a venue like this is really cool because you can get in and you try the games or as many games as you want and see what you like, see what you don't. But then you build up that sense of community. And community is something I talk about a lot because I firmly believe that community is very, very important. Whether it's a community people listening to Wargaming Recon or community people wargaming in Australia or community people gaming anywhere, right? Community is very important. And so being able to have that focus for a community is awesome. And for some people, it's gaming at their homes with their friends and bringing their friends there. For some people, it's gaming at a club somewhere, a wargaming club. Some people, it's gaming at the gaming store. And I mean, each has their own pros and cons, right? But for others, something like this, a board game cafe, that's where the community is. And I can tell you, the ones that are in and near Boston have been doing exceptionally well. They just have that mix of clientele, the customers coming in, the club members, the proper games, always getting the new stuff, the vibe, just everything. And it works. And now is the time for something like this. You know, 20 years ago, maybe not. 40 years from now, maybe not. But now, this is when they're really popular. So it's cool to tie into that. And I mean, like I said, I think it's worth tossing some money at. You don't have to toss a lot of money at it, just a little bit. And like I said, they've raised 175 bucks so far, but they need to raise 4,000 to make it happen. So with your help, they can do it. And we'll just see how it goes. But I will tell you that no matter what happens, that I will update you so that if this is a reality, you'll be able to find out that it actually happened. And if it isn't, and I hope it will be, but if it isn't, you'll also find that out as well. Maybe not in an episode of the show, but definitely on our social media, perhaps on Facebook most likely, or on Twitter. But Facebook is the way that I tend to release information the most. So that's definitely something that you will want to stay up to date on. So let's move on to the mailbag section of the show. So for you listeners who happen to be new to Wargaming Recon, mailbag is when I take comments and questions and that kind of stuff that I received from all of you. Maybe you've emailed it to me. You might have put it on YouTube as a comment to one of the live broadcasts, or perhaps you put it on Facebook or on Twitter. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways you can get in touch with me here at Wargaming Recon. So the first comment I have, first piece of listener feedback, I guess you could say, is from listener Ancient Thoughts, who commented on YouTube. They actually responded to the live recording of episode 132. And that was the one where I had talked about Ancient History Magazine and the Kickstarter for it. So listener Ancient Thoughts said, quote, Joshua's completely right with what he's saying with how Ancient History Magazine going to be different. The artwork is a huge factor as well as the info and how it's delivered, because it gives a historically accurate picture and brings the ancient world to life. This new magazine would be extremely popular. Same with their podcast if more people just knew about it. Well, I can tell all of you, and in particular you, Ancient Thoughts, that as of the time that I'm recording this episode, which is International Tabletop Day, that's April 11th, 2015, the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter has been successfully funded. If you haven't backed it yet, please do, because they've released the first stretch goal and met it, and they have released the second stretch goal, and with your help can make that happen as well. So I agree. I think Ancient History Magazine is going to be very, very popular. I think it's something that once it gets going, we're going to see it's a mainstay of Karin Soderwedh Publishers' magazine empire, and that it's going to reach across the aisle. It's going to appeal to war gamers like you and I, but it'll also appeal to people who are interested in history, into archaeology, people from a wide array of backgrounds who've never even heard of, never been interested in wargaming. And I think that's really smart on their end. And I think it's going to do very, very well. I should note that the podcasts that Ancient Thoughts are referencing are really good. I've listened to the Ancient Warfare Magazine podcast for a long time, long before I even began reading the magazine, and I enjoyed it. Their podcasts kind of give a behind-the-scenes peek to what went into each of the issues that they publish. So that's really cool. And I actually wish that they would do it with their other titles, with Medieval Warfare, with Wargame Soldiers of Strategy, and so forth. I think it would be very neat. I have another piece of feedback, this time from listener I Did Saw a Bear, who commented again on YouTube in reference to episode 132. They said, if you give me a way to buy this in Canada, I will buy the crap out of each edition. So I can tell, first of all, thank you, I Did Saw a Bear, for your comment. You can buy it in Canada, or at least you can back it no matter where you are. If you're in Canada, back the Kickstarter, you'll get the first issue, as part of your backing. And once it goes out, I'm sure they will release it to Canada. If not, nothing else, you'll be able to buy it through the Karin Soderwedh Publishers website, and they'll ship it to you in Canada. And if you don't want to do that, I'm guessing that your local bookstore should be able to have it. They've managed to get into a lot of the distribution streams for bookstores all over the place. So they've done it for their other magazines. I have no reason to doubt that that won't be true for this one. And like I said, no matter what, you can buy it through their website. So you will be able to buy this, and I hope you do, quote, buy crap out of each edition, unquote, because I think it's going to be really good. The sample edition I've seen is just, it's like Ancient Warfare Magazine, but more focused on the history behind all of it. And that's why people have been backing it, because they love it, right? So I think it's definitely going to be available all over the place for people. And then one last comment for this episode, one last bit of listener feedback from listener David, who commented actually on Facebook, and again in reference to episode 132, the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter. He says, quote, all around an enjoyable and informative discussion. Of particular interest is this proposed new book of artwork from Ancient Warfare Magazine. Given the quality of the illustrations that have graced the pages of AW from the very start, he's saying that he thinks it's going to be fantastic. And you know what? I agree. So thank you, David, for your comments. And I think for those of us who back the Kickstarter, that backing it at that level where you can pick that book is going to be really cool. I have backed it at the level so that I can get either that book or one of the others that were mentioned. And I can't remember whether it was Jasper or Yasho who had mentioned all the different books. It might have been Jasper, but I'm looking forward to saying, I want this one, or I want that one, or whatever. Because it's a great deal to do it. Not only are you getting the issue of the magazine, you're going to get the A4 size illustration, I think it is, plus you can get a book and everything. So it's really cool. Now we have just a few announcements for everyone. I want to remind all of you that I am still very excited to welcome the newest member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. I'm talking about the Hobby Desk podcast and its host, Joshua Shoebridge. And I also want to give Joshua a shout out today because today he is baptizing one of his kids. One of his sons is being baptized today. So want to wish all the best to Joshua for that. And also want to say that tomorrow, and not tomorrow when you're listening, because who knows when you're listening. Yeah, you could be listening a year from now, but tomorrow, April 12th is when my wife and I are having our daughter Catherine baptized. So it's a fun filled and hectic weekend here at Wargaming Recon Central. Don't forget you can join me at Huzzah. I mentioned this earlier in the episode, but you can join me at Huzzah, which is a fantastic historical gaming convention up in Portland, Maine. That's May 15th to the 17th, 2015. I will be there. I'm doing the very first in-person live recording of Wargaming Recon. That's right, live before a studio audience. So I will be there and doing that. I think it's Sunday morning that I'm doing my recording. I have to double check. But no matter what, I will be there. And I'm also playing in some games or a game I'm playing on Friday night. It's a musket and tomahawk game. I'm going to be playing that with listener Adrian. And my wife and daughter are going to be joining me for the fun. And we'll be spending all of Saturday doing cool touristy kind of things in Portland because it's a fantastic city. Great place to eat and a lot of sightseeing. And if you like lighthouses, two thumbs up for that. So just all sorts of kind of cool stuff. And I want to just briefly talk about a cool new thing that we're doing here at Wargaming Recon that you may not have been aware about because it's been going on for a little bit, but it's gotten better just now. So I've tried to get myself in the habit of recording these episodes, at least the most recent ones anyway, live. And there's a few reasons behind that, but the main one is that it was too easy for me in the past if I didn't have a guest on an episode to say, oh, I don't really feel like recording right now. It's sunny outside. I want to go out. Or, oh, look, I could play this game, or there's a movie, or this is going on the side, and I could just postpone when I would record the episode. So by recording live, I'm really making myself accountable to all of you to make sure that I'm giving my best. And I'm doing it in a timely manner so that you get your content when you should be, when I say you're going to be getting it. So if I say it's coming out on a Monday morning, you shouldn't have to wait until Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or forever. And if it never comes out, you should be able to get it that Monday morning. And that means I need to record it in advance. I need to do all sorts of kind of stuff. A cool side effect of this is that by doing it live, I can also stream live. So these episodes have been recorded through Google Hangout Plus On Air, or whatever the heck they call it. So that way you can watch on YouTube and you can leave comments on there, which is really cool. But I've actually gone a step further because I wanted to make it even better for all of you. So in addition to all of that, I have had my web developer, Chris, who's fantastic. He's just like cream of the top, right? I've asked him to create what I call a live page. And it's on the Wargaming Recon website. WargamingRecon.com/live. Again, don't need to remember that in the show notes. But it's cool because if you go there, there are some really neat things that you can do. First of all, that's how you can watch me when I record the episodes. Be able to watch me on Google, hear me, all that kind of stuff. If you don't want to watch and you just want to listen, there's a Mixler, setup. Mixler is basically a way to stream audio so that I can broadcast my audio to kind of like a radio station in a sense, and you can listen to me that way. So you can say, I don't want to watch, but I want to listen. And I got to say, watching is cool, but I don't do extra visual stuff in the episodes. I'm not like, hey, look at this and hey, look at that. But it's a chance you can get to see me. You get to see, my recording studio, or at least portions of it. I mean, you can see my green walls and the bookcases and that kind of stuff. There will be, you know, sometimes in the future where I'll say, hey, I got this cool new thing I want to show you. And I might hold up and you'll lose out on that a little bit in the audio only, or if you just get the podcast episode. Although in those cases, I would put the picture up on the show notes and or our social media, but you'd get to see it live, right? And the really cool thing with all of this is that there's a chat room on the live page. I'm using something called Chatwing. It's rudimentary, but I think it does the job. And if enough people use it and like it, I'll add in some extra stuff to our Patreon funding that if we reach that, it'll allow me to do cooler things with the chat room. But the benefit of the chat room is that you can chat with other people who are watching the episode live. So say you're in, I don't know, London, right? And you're watching, and then maybe someone in Norway is watching, and then someone in Australia, and then the people in New Hampshire are watching, and you can chat with all of them about what I'm doing. Plus, you can also chat with me. My focus, of course, is on creating the audio, creating the content for you to watch and to listen to. But as appropriate, I can take a moment or two. I will pop into the chat room and say something, be like, hey, that's really cool, or thanks for commenting, or you know, whatever. So you can interact with me, and maybe I might ask a question while I'm recording, or I'll start recording and say, you know, I can't think of the name of this, or what episode did I do that in? And maybe one of you in the chat room will know, oh, you did this in episode 94. You put that in, be like, well, according to the chat room, and thanks again, I talked about that in this episode, and so forth. So it's nice to be able to have another way to kind of foster a sense of community for all of us. Again, community is important and it's key, really. And I think it's just cool to be able to interact with people that way. There are some podcasts that I listen to that record live and have chat rooms. And I love being able to interact with the other listeners and with the podcast hosts. And I find it valuable, and I hope that you will too. And the last reason why you'll want to check out the live page is that in addition to the setup that I have, the episode guide, where you can go and see what's coming up in each episode, I will have every scheduled live recording showing up in a Google Calendar. It appears on the page, shows what the next event is, when it'll start, roughly when it should end, what the dates are, and all that kind of stuff. But then there's also links so that you can click on, and it'll take you right to the Google Calendar. So you'll be able to see a calendar of all of my scheduled live appearances, and that'll have information about them, like a brief description, if there's going to be guests and all that kind of stuff. My plan really is basically as much as possible from now until forever to record live, so that you'll be able to get it live, and then they'll come out separately afterwards as a podcast episode. Do you need to watch live or listen live? No, you don't. Like I said, by and large, there won't be extra content in there, so you're not missing out on a whole lot. Although you will be missing out on that sense of community, I think. You can get some of that by commenting on our Facebook page and tweeting and that sort of stuff. But the chat room, I think, is really going to be cool, because maybe it'll allow you to form some connections. And I'll also be able to use that for feedback for future mailbag sections on the show and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's going to be really cool, and I want to thank Chris for all of his hard work with all of that. And I hope you use it. I hope all of you enjoy the live page. And who knows, maybe down the road I might be able to get a volunteer or someone to help out, to be like a producer sort of person who will sit in the chat room and sit on the live page and make sure things work appropriately and interact with all of you and that kind of stuff. And just, I don't know, I think it'll be kind of cool. I do want to remind all of you, of course, I mentioned just briefly about the Patreon. So if you like what I do here at Wargaming Recon, maybe you could support me on Patreon. Think of it like a tip jar. Costs as little as $1 an episode, roughly $2 a month. You can get to that by going to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. Again, don't worry, in the show notes. I mentioned the episode guide, but that has all sorts of cool new upcoming stuff in it. So I can tell you, for example, that some of the future episodes will be focusing on Huzzah. I'm working on rescheduling with John and Diane Sutherland, because we didn't get them in 2014, but they will be back in 2015 to talk about the closing of their Wargame Holidays Center. I have a holiday gift guide later on in the year, and I'll just be plugging stuff in as it comes up. But I think that you'll find both the live page and the episode guide to be very important. And that's all I have for all of you. So until next time, I hope you will have enjoyed this live streaming episode and that you'll make use of the live page. And of course, you can watch the videos afterwards on our YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff. But since today is International Tabletop Day and I won't be able to game, got so much going on because with the christening tomorrow, I'm hoping that you guys will. So no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much time you're spending thinking about International Tabletop Day, I hope that no matter what, you know that you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly. New episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.